You have your Bibles. I do want to share some things with you today. I do want to talk about restoration for a few minutes, and then we're going to pray. I believe God wants to restore some things. It's what he does. And God put this message on my heart. I've been praying all week about it. This is, if you've been following us, we've been going through the book of Ruth and watching this awesome young lady just find herself going from tragedy to triumph. And she comes in chapter 4, and she meets a guy named Boaz. Everybody say Boaz.
Boaz.
Boaz changed her life forever. And because he was a man of restoration and redemption. And in chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, go to verse 13. And it tells us, this is the climax of the story. And I just don't have time to set it up. We're just going to read it. But I got something else I want to bring out about Boaz. We'll talk about Boaz today. So men, lean in. And we're going to learn some things from Boaz today. All of us are. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception. And she bore a son. I want you to notice that she was married for 10 years in Moab, and she never had a child. So not only did this woman experience grief and the loss of her husband, the loss of her brother-in-law, the loss of her father-in-law. This woman was not able to have children either for 10 years. But when she walked in the favor of the Lord, Boaz blessed her and God opened her womb and she was able to bear a son. Verse 14, then the women said to Naomi, look how they won't praise Naomi. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative or a redeemer. That word is redeemer in some translations. Everybody say redeemer. And may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer. Everybody say a restorer. May he be a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, this is the son of Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Obed means servant. Gave him a name, and he is the father, watch this, he's the father of Jesse, the father of David. King David, the king of Israel, is who this baby ended up being the grandfather of. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In the name of Jesus, bless our time we have left today. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the ministry of Boaz. The ministry of Boaz. There's three things we need to know about Boaz. We'll get right into it. Number one, Boaz is a picture of Christ. Boaz in the story, he's a kinsman redeemer. It says 12 times in this chapter that Boaz is a redeemer. He is trying to redeem Ruth. So if you haven't followed along, Ruth is she's totally different in chapter 1 to chapter 4. In chapter 1, she loses her husband. She goes from having a family of 6 to being a family of 2 in the span of 10 years. They were people of God, but things didn't work out. She had no children. She lost her husband, her brother-in-law, her mother-in-law lost her husband, all in 10 years. Going from a party of 6, you go to a restaurant, you say 6, and I bet you they were a loud bunch. How many got a loud bunch in your family? Everybody knows you're in the restaurant. Yeah, amen. They just loved, it was filled with joy and laughter. There were 6 of them. They go from loving life and having the joy to going to a family of 2 in the span of 10 years. And she follows Naomi and says, I'm going to go where you go. And this is the whole point. She was able to have the redemption in her life because she made the decision to follow Naomi's God. What did we learn? Our lives aren't shaped by the things that happens to us, but how the decisions we make in response to them. But I want to also draw your attention that in chapter 1, it actually went from a family of 6 to a family of 3 because there was another woman. Her name was Orpah. Same thing happened to her. She was also in chapter 1. She was the sister-in-law of Ruth. She also lost her husband. She also lost her brother-in-law and her father-in-law. She went from that family of 6 to a family of 3. But your Bible says that she didn't make it out of chapter 1. She had the tragedy hit her life, and she said, Naomi, I don't want to have nothing to do with this God. My life is too hard. My life is just terrible right now. I'm not going to go and serve your God. I'm going back to Moab. I'm going back to my God. I'm going back to just take my chances and live in my life. And the Bible says that there's nothing. Orpah is never mentioned again in her life. Her life ended. Everything ended in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, we see that Ruth finds herself in the favor of God. Chapter 3, the promises are coming to pass. And here in chapter 4, this Moabite woman, widow, finds herself in the lineage and the bloodline of King David and Jesus Christ herself. Why? Because she made a decision to hang on to the God of Naomi and not let her grieving and her sadness push her away. She made it to chapter 4. How many chapters are you going to make it? Some of you are in chapter 1 today, but I'm going to ask you, are you going to make it to chapter 2? Are you going to make it to chapter 3? The decision is up to you. Ruth said, I'm going to hang on. I'm going all the way. Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where you die, I'm going to die. In other words, I'm your ride or die. I'm in it for the long haul. Your God is my God. And when she did that, she just so happened to find herself in the field of Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, who was a person who had the legal power and ability to redeem Ruth and Naomi and their family and all the land that they lost. Because in those days, when you lost your husband, you lost everything. If you weren't married, your property went back to the community. And the only way to get it back is if you had someone who was related to your dead husband. The closest relative had to be the one that stepped in and said, hey, I will redeem this family. But in order to do that, you had to marry the widow. And so 12 times in this chapter, Boaz gathers the elders together and he says, I'm going to fight for Ruth. And I want this woman, and I want God has brought us together. And so he comes and he has the elders together, and 12 times he says the word redeem. I want to redeem her. But there was another man in the story that was a closer relative to Ruth than Boaz was. And he stood up and he said, well, hey, how much property do they got? Boaz said, I got a lot of land, her and Naomi. He said, I want all of it. Boaz stood there and he goes, well, wait a minute. If you're right to take it because you're closer to her than I am, but I just got to tell you this. If you take the land, you got to marry, watch how he says this, the Moabite woman. You got to catch this or you won't get the end of the story. Your Bible says that man said, I got to marry who? I just want the land. I don't want to marry no more. And he says these words, I don't want to marry her lest it ruin what I have. His little prejudice and biases. How many know our biases can keep us out from the blessing of God? And that's what he did. And so Boaz says, I knew you was going to say that. He said, I'm not afraid of her past. I'm not afraid of who she is, because the Moabites were vicious people. They were people that turned on God and they sacrificed their own children to their God. I showed you that in week one. They were evil people, but not Ruth. Ruth changed her life and Boaz saw it. Boaz was attracted to Ruth because of her heart for God. We covered that last week. And so Boaz stood up and he says, not only am I going to redeem her, I want to restore her. And I just want to tell you this today before we go any further, that God, he just don't want to redeem you, which means to forgive your sins and validate you. Listen, he wants to restore everything you've lost in your life. He can do that. He can do that. How many believe he can do that? The word restore, I love it in this Bible here. It means to bring back what is lost or damaged, to return to God. And I love it because Ruth is a totally different person from chapter 1 to chapter 4. How many know when you align yourself with the will of God, your future can be totally different than how it is right now, this moment? Yes. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he restored her relationship. He can restore anything in our lives. That's what God does. He is a restorer. All through the Bible, God is known for a restorer. It's 132 times in the Bible, God says, I will restore what the enemy has taken from you. When the Bible, when David went through what he went through, the Bible says he was left with all of his friends, and even his friends turned on him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. He had a praise party. He probably had a drummer like Kavar, and he was like, hey, hit those drums, brother. And he began to stir up. Sometimes if nobody else is going to encourage you, you got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to have that ability to stir it up. And do what we did in your car. Pull over. Go to a break room at work. There are in a hospital room. I've had the Spirit of God come upon. You got to learn how to stir that up. David stirred it up. And the Bible says he went back to the enemy and recovered all that was stolen and taken from him. One more scripture and we're going to move on. The Bible says in Job, everybody knows what Job went through. But at the end of Job's life, he didn't quit. Here's the message. Don't quit. You hear me say it all the time. If you don't quit, what? You win. That's all we got to do is don't quit. God fights the battles. God gives us the victory. God gives us deliverance. All we got to do is not quit. Job didn't quit, and the story ends like this. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for those knucklehead friends of his that told him to curse God. He prayed for them. That's another message for another time. Look here. But indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. How many know God can restore double for our trouble? I can tell you the rest of this service all about the restoration God done in my life alone. And I'm sure I'm not alone. How many has seen God restore some things in your life? Look at the hands. I don't care what you lost, reputation. I don't care what it was in your life. Mom always says this to me, Eddie, you always wanted to be a police officer, and now look how God has done for you. I did. I had a dream in high school. I had a plan. I was going to graduate high school, go into the U.S. Marine Corps. I went to our ROTC. I was close with our major who taught it, and we were good friends. I passed the ASVAB test and was going in late June. I was all set, but I made some foolish decisions getting in the streets of E-Course, and it took me down a path, and man, I said, well, I'm already messed up. Might as well go further. Amen. And next thing you know, I got into all 12 years of addiction and trouble and violence and in and out of the judicial system, and everything else was totally lost in my life. At the age of 25, I did like Ruth did, and I said, where you go, I'm going to go, God. I made that decision to cling to God and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life. And I reached out by faith, and I said, God, save me. And he changed my life. Melinda and I, the favor of the Lord began to come over my life. Fast forward to now, God has put me in the ministry and God planted this church through mom and dad. And we've been in the community since 2002. And now I'm a police officer chaplain for the fire and police. I'm just bragging on what God can do. They even gave me a badge. Amen. If you're watching. I went through the diversion program. I got all the things off my record because only God can change you around. And now I'm ministering to police officers and fire. I'm just telling you, man, I don't care what you've been through, whatever hopes and dreams you have in your life, if it's your children getting saved, it's your marriage being restored, ministry, whatever it is, if you would just line yourself up to God and hang on to God, he will redeem you and restore everything that he's promised you to have. Thank you, Jesus. Three things about Boaz. Number one, Boaz is a picture of Christ. Boaz is a picture of Christ. Number two, Boaz gives a pattern for men to follow. Boaz is an example for men. Now, I do not have time to give you these six things. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So we got Father's Day coming in a few weeks. Amen. I may circle back by. But let me just tell you, you want a good study to follow as an example for us men to learn how it, I mean, today in our culture today, the gender lines and roles are so blurred and so confusing. I'm telling you, but the Bible hasn't changed from day one, and it still is the best way to live our life and to raise a family, and that is putting God in the center of your marriage, putting God in the center of your family, but he's first got to be in the center of your heart. And let me just go kind of fast to what Boaz shows us what a husband is more than just a title. But it is a role from God with purpose and responsibility. The name Boaz actually means true strength. And Boaz shows us what a strong man is when you looked at his life. And we've kind of looked at it throughout these chapters and this story. Boaz shows us what true strength is. How many know being a man, being strong, is really not, you know, measured by the car you drive? It's not measured by how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how you like your coffee. Real men drink black coffee. Okay. I see some of y'all in the stream. Black coffee. Put a little bit of that sugar in there. I just tell Melinda, just hook it up, baby. She knows what I want. Amen. It doesn't matter how much you can bench press. It doesn't matter how fast you can run. What matters is how committed you can be to your wife and how you can serve God and surrender your life to Him and His ways alone. That right there takes true strength. It's easy to live according to the culture of this world. It takes real men to follow God, man, and I've learned that. I thought living in the streets was tough. I thought fighting and watching your back and all that was tough. It wasn't nothing compared to carrying your cross and living for Jesus and crucifying the flesh and forgiving people and holding that tongue when you want to say something else and take that hand when the spirit of slap comes over you and you let the Holy Spirit. It's harder to do that than it is to walk in the flesh. Boaz shows us that. And let me just give you some of these. He was a man of principle. You can just write these down. He was a man of principle. He ran his business according to the ways of God. Notice he come out of a famine, but he still said, I'm going to operate this business according to God. I'm going to leave the corners of my field for the gleaners. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, Lord, it was a famine. It was a rough winter, and I'm just going to overcharge some things. I'm going to skip on my tithing. I'm going to skip on you putting you first, and we're going to go ahead and just harvest all of the field, boys. What God understands, no, Boaz says, I know we come out of a famine, but I'm going to serve God no matter how I feel, no matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what the financial situation, no matter what the culture looks like, no matter what the stock market looks like, I'm going to serve God. He's a man of principle. And he did it, and that's how he found Ruth. How many know favor is in the obedience? I ain't got time for that today. Boaz ended up doing that, and then we learn that he also made Ruth a priority. I wish I had time. We're going to have to come back to this. Write this down. He also protected Ruth. He protected Ruth. He told the young boys, leave this one alone. And then he also protected her from scandal. Remember that? Yes. We covered that last week. 1 Peter, let me give you this scripture because I feel like somebody might need to hear it. New Living says it this way. In the same way, you husbands, if you're sitting next to a husband, say, he's talking to you. He is. He says, you must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Watch this. Treat her as you should so your prayers don't be hindered. I thought it was the devil hindering my prayers. I'm going to leave that one alone and let the Holy Spirit minister. Protecting our wife. Boaz was a gentle man. He loved Ruth. He didn't speak to her heart. Listen, man, when we speak harshly to our wives, it just shuts them down, man. Let me just tell you that. But when we speak gentle and loving, man, I know we're all trying to get better at that. Me too, but listen, when we begin to do that, our wife will open up. Why? Because she feels like she's in a safe environment. She's safe, and we're protecting her. We're supposed to protect her. Absolutely. Someone comes breaking in your house at 3 a.m., don't elbow her to get out of bed. And don't let me know if you did that, because I will be talking to you. Go check that out, honey. You know where the gun's at. No. You get up out of that bed, and you go and investigate. I think we're pretty good as far as that goes, but we're also called to protect them spiritually. Protect them. They're vulnerable. It says that they are weaker, not in a bad sense, but in a better sense. Let's keep going. He also provided for her. Oh, just like the Bible says, I got the Holy Ghost down in. This is what the Holy Ghost helps us do. Yes. Not just shout and dance. I was about ready to bust a move. You just don't know. Drums would have kept going. I was about to do a knee. I got a whole routine from the 89, baby. It was coming back, Steve. I used to do, hey. Just keep preaching, Eddie. Come on. We are to provide for them. We are to provide for them. Notice what he did. There's a part in the story where she was gleaning in the field. And you know what he did? He said, guys, go get some water for Ruth and bring it out of the well and leave it over for her. He provided for her. This is what he did. He made what God has called her to do, which was gleaning at that time. He made her calling easier. But he said, I'm going to go get the water. She would have had to stop what she's doing to have to go all the way to that well, all the way, pull that water out, put it in the vessel, go over in the shade and get her something. No, Boaz says, I'm going to make your calling easier. I'm going to come alongside of you and do what I can do to create an environment that will help you grow in your faith. In fact, we are to provide this environment for our whole family, guys. We are to provide this for an environment for our family. Make sure our kids are engaged and they're not bored with Jesus. If they are, lean into them, man. Lean into them. If you got teenagers, you may have to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning because that's when they're active and wanting to talk. Amen. I used to have to do that, getting up at 3:30 in the morning. I had two girls that we raised. And I'm like, can't you talk at like 9 at night? Why do you want to get in these heavy conversations at 1 in the morning? But you know what? That was what I was called to do. And that's what Melinda, that's what we were called to do, is to lean into them. Well, what were we doing? Creating an environment. We provide for them, not just money. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to have to return to this part, okay, in another time, because I want to get to this closing point that everyone misses when they talk about Boaz. Because the highlight is always the lineage of Ruth giving birth to Obed, which is fantastic. Are you kidding me? Here's a Moabite woman, a widow, who finds herself again in the lineage of Jesus the Messiah. That is just amazing right there. But I've always asked myself, what made Boaz such an awesome dude? Like, you ever meet somebody that is just a good guy, man? And all the single ladies say, please show me. I know it's singles is tough these days. Amen. I would not want to be single, but I'm praying for y'all. Amen. Listen, I had a single lady tell me a couple years ago, Pastor, it's your job. Get some of these single men up in here. I tried my best. God answered, and now she's married on the second pew to Steve Kennedy. To Steve Buchanan Kennedy. Two beautiful children restored the years. Oh, I'm going to testify. Single woman for many years of her life, and as she's getting older, she's one of our deacons. Everybody knows Carissa, and you're going to hear more of this testimony coming up. And you talk about restoring the years. Not only did she get married, but she's got two kids like that. Boom, boom, just like that. Because God is a restorer. But I've always asked myself, what about Boaz, and how can I be a Boaz? Because I'm not perfect. And one of the turning points in my marriage is when I first got saved because, man, I'll just be honest with you, I was nowhere near Boaz. I was more like his cousin Bozo with a capital B. I was. Didn't know how to be a man. I didn't have nothing to give. I thought, long as, you know, I protected her and I went to work and provided some money. That is just prerequisites. That's expected. It's like being proud of somebody for breathing. You want me to do a hand clap for? I mean, come on, you this is what we're supposed to do. And then God began to work on me about these things, and I'm still learning. But I leaned into Boaz, and I said, what is it about Boaz? And it's in that last scripture that we didn't read, which God shows us this in chapter 4, verse 18. It says, now this is the genealogy of Perez. Now this is Boaz's family's line. And Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And it goes all the way down to a guy named Salmon, which is Selma, S-A-L-M-A-H, Selma. It's a man's name. It could also be a female name. And Salmon had Boaz. And I said, wow, that's Boaz's father. What kind of guy was Boaz's father? You won't know it until you go over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. I love the Bible, but you got to get into your Bible. And the Bible says that Matthew was copying the lineage, and he goes all the way back, and he gets, and he says, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Some of y'all are clapping because you know who Rahab is. Boaz was a picture of Christ. Boaz was a pattern for men, and Boaz was a product of grace himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Boaz's mama was Rahab the harlot. I can still hear those stories. Can I preach to you today? I can still hear those stories that Rahab would get Boaz and say, come here, young man. Let me talk to you about Jehovah Yahweh. Let me talk to you about a God that I met back in the day. Come on, somebody. We're talking about restoration. Come here, Boaz. I got to tell you about something. My life turned around one night in Jericho when these two strangers came into my house. See, I was a harlot, and I ran a brothel at night in the walls of Jericho. I'm not proud of it, but I got to be real with you today, Boaz. I have a past, but I want you to know two men came into my house that night, and they didn't want what other men were looking for. These men came and said, they are servants of the Most High God. And I looked at him. I said, I heard about this Jehovah Yahweh. Ain't he the one that brought you out of Pharaoh's grip with a mighty right hand? Come on, help me preach today. They said, yes, ma'am. She said, I know your God set you free from 400 years of slavery. Can he set me free from my sin and addiction? Joshua 5, go read it. And they said, yes, ma'am, he certainly can, but here's something you got to do. And they pulled out a red cord, and they said, this red cord, which represents redemption. I need you to hang this out of your window because we're coming for Jericho. And these little walls that everybody brags about your life and your 401ks and your talents and your pretty looks and your strengths and all of your little swag, everybody, my God's going to knock it down in 7 days. We might need that organ up here or that something up here. She said, keep talking. And he said, if you just put this out of your window and bring your whole family into this house, even Uncle Stan, who don't believe in Jesus, you need to get them all in here. Even your Uncle Joe, bring them up in the house, because when we come in, we're going to come in hard and we're going to level this place, because Jericho has rejected God for 400 years. They've had their time. And the Bible says that she hung that little red cord out of her window, letting everybody know that when God begins to bring judgment on everybody, it's going to pass over her because of her redemption promise of God. God came in. You know the story. 7 days later, those walls come down. But there was a woman that had a cord like this, a red cord saying, I've been redeemed by Jehovah Yahweh. The story don't end there. She comes into the family of Israel. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy, she met a man named Salmon who came up and said, hey, baby, you look good. Everybody else said, don't you know Rahab? She's a harlot. Salmon said, I don't care. We all got a pass, brother. He said, Rahab, you look fine to me. Put on that red dress. Slip on those high heels. I'm going to say it anyway. Because you sure look good to me. He said, I don't care you was a harlot. I don't care about your past. All I see is that red cord that you're holding up here today. And baby, I'm going to come and be with you, and you're going to be my wife. And the Bible says that God blessed that union, and they had little Boaz. So let me tell you that day when Boaz was in the field, and here come little Ruth. Everyone said, hey, don't she look at that little girl. She's a Moabite. I believe something rose up in Boaz and says, I know she's a Moabite. But if it wasn't for God redeeming my daddy and God redeeming my mama, I wouldn't be here today. So I don't care about her past. I don't care what she used to be. I don't care what she used to do. Everybody else is going to kick her to the curb. But she sure looks good to me. Come on, Ruth, baby. And they got together. They got together, and God said, it was my plan all along. Give me praise in this place if you've been redeemed. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his
presence, his promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.